It is 10 a.m. on Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. I have asked Dave Hansen from Legacy Event Center to lead us in the pledge. Dave.
If you'll please all rise and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to our presentation of the informational items. These two items are both by our clerk auditor, Curtis Koch. Curtis.
Thank you, commissioners. Our first item is a notice of intent to engage in contract negotiations for the applicant tracking system software, and that is with Applicant Pro Holdings, LLC. So we put out an RFP for an applicant tracking system, and that is what the selection committee is recommending as the best value for the county.
What was the name of it, Curtis?
Applicant Pro Holdings, LLC.
Okay. Great.
And then second, we have a notice of intent to engage in contract negotiations for the Davis County Legacy Events Center Redevelopment and Building Remodel Construction Manager General Contractor Services RFP. The selection committee that convened for that has come back and recommends that Layton Construction that we engage in contract negotiations with them, as they are recommended as the best value to the county.
Okay. Right. Sounds good. I'm just notifying one of the staff members because we're going to have public comment here, so just getting him to get here. So, all right, well, now we'll move into our public comment period, and we'll ask that 3 minutes, but I've been known to give a little bit more if there's more explanation that needs to be done. So we ask that you state your name and where you're from and kind of the issue that you're facing. And we'll open that up for public comment.
Right over here, yeah.
Okay, my name is Stan Hamblin. I live in unincorporated Davis County on 2700 South in Syracuse. Some time ago, my grandson decided he would like to build on our farm. And so I said, okay, let's do it. So we came down to urban development, made our proposal, and they said, yes, we can make this work because we were zoned A1. So we go home and I get a surveyor. He comes out and surveys the 1 acre lot. We put it in Tyson's name, who is my grandson. And we bring it down and we get it recorded. No one says anything. So we move ahead. We go to the city, talk to the city council and get the okay to hook onto their water supply, which was a requirement. Okay, so then we tear the fence down and we haul in 50 loads of field dirt. Get that all leveled out and look at it and say, okay, we're ready. We come down to urban development for a building permit. They say, no, we can't do this. I couldn't understand that. I mean, I've lived in the county my whole life. My grandpa Bill settled in the county before it was even a county. So we are longtime residents of Davis County. He brought up the fact about the A10 situation, but we were never in A10. It's zoned A1 today, and it was back then. So then he said, well, you've almost got an illegal subdivision going because there are four family members built right on that farm right along 2700.
Hey, Stan, who was it you were talking to?
Pardon me?
Who was telling this?
Jeff Euler.
Okay.
I didn't want to bring in any names because, you know, I don't know. Anyway, across the street from us, there are 12 homes on one farm. So I don't think the illegal subdivision is a player. And less than 2 years ago, you issued a building permit on the opposite side of the road of us less than 2 years ago. And so the only thing I can think of between that permit being issued and ours is John Diamond. I think the county is afraid of John Diamond, of what he might try to do if they issue me a building permit. But the situations are totally different. His situation is totally different from mine. And so what I'm here for is a reason why I couldn't get a building permit.
Okay. I think we just need to set up with staff and have a meeting on the particular case.
Just 1 second, though. So I'm not sure where John Diamond plays into this, so...
Well, you know where his property is, and he wants to sell it for houses.
Well, and again, just on that, which is another issue, but we basically told John Diamond no on stuff over there, too, so on that. But my understanding is what has taken place here is that your A1 zone is actually an A10 zone now.
No, it isn't. It's still ag protection. So it's one...
Well, if it's an ag... You know, I may have to get a little more...
Well, and I realize that you'll have to look into this a little bit, but we put our farm in ag protection, which leaves it in A1.
Okay, I just want to ask, and again, we need to probably sit down and work meeting, how you guys come in and go through this. I do want to ask Kent Anderson if he knows the answer to this. So, Kent, it was my understanding when things were in ag protection, that as far as being able to do things on ag protection, it needs to come out of that. Can you clarify that a little bit as far as that goes?
Yeah, that would be correct, Commissioner. If we were going to approve a building lot, it would have to be removed out of agricultural protection. I think the request would come in from the property owner to the county.
On that. And Stan, you're still in ag protection, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's get together with everybody, probably have you guys come in, and let's sit down and see if we can go through and get everything figured out as far as it goes. But we would run into the situation with the A10 zoning. Am I correct on that,
yes,
Ken?
That would be correct, sir.
Okay. Can I say that? I didn't hear what you said.
On the ordinance that the county passed 2 years ago to require a 10 acre for a building.
So, Stan, just...
Which is just waiting for a study to look at septics and the density and the groundwater and all of that. And this is not a permanent moratorium.
And Stan, how far away is your sewer system? To a sewer system to tap in? How far away is that?
The sewer line is right down the middle of 2700.
So you won't be doing a septic tank, you'd be doing on sewer?
And okay. We've already been to the sewer district and they've okayed a hookup.
Okay, what are the...
Because that kind of resolves the problem that we were having, is that he can't hook up to a sewer, and he can't hook up to water, so we're not dealing with the septic.
And I understand that, and I agree. But
yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand myself, because that was kind of the issue of why we went to A10s, was because of the lack of sewer.
That was only one part of it, as you remember, Commissioner, is that the desire of the commission is to encourage development to occur within municipalities. Yeah. So that was the direction of the commission. It wasn't just to address septic issues, right, and sewering, but it was also to have development occur where the commission would like it to.
But the moratorium specific to septic in the study, or
moratorium specific to agricultural protection.
Okay, thank you, Kent.
However,
okay.
Stan, the minutes can't hear you if you don't talk into the mic. I get told the same thing. So,
however, my family has been in Davis County for over 100 years. Why would I want to annex into a city if I didn't have to?
Well,
and with the sewer and the water right there, I don't have to.
Okay,
unless you guys force me to.
One other quick question, and then, like I said, we'll put together a meeting to get everybody to come and talk about this. Do you have, as far as that acre, how much additional land do you have around that 1 acre?
Myself, I have 12 acres.
On that, so, okay.
And then my sister has 8, and another brother has 11.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's about a 40-acre piece, actually.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see if we can...
I'm annexed into a city, I have to deal with their regulations and rules, animal-wise and other things. So I would just as soon stay in the county. I know you guys don't want us, but
we're not getting into that.
Let's see what we can get with you, Stan.
So you'll let me know?
Yeah, we'll get back to you. Would you please make sure you give Kent your contact information
real quick?
Right
there.
I think Jeff's got your cell phone, right? Okay.
And Pamplins, thank you for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Commissioner,
this is why we have public comment.
Yes.
You know.
And so I have their phone number.
Oh,
Bob's a friend, so we know.
So can I ask about how long, because my grandson's waiting for a building permit, his builder's waiting for this.
I would think we'd get together early next week, I would think.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll now move on to a public hearing, and Chris.
Thank you, commissioners. We have today an amendment to the 2022 budget appropriations and an adjustment to revenues and expenses. Put that up on the screen. I'll walk everybody through that. Sorry.
Okay.
Looks like we've got a new. Okay. Okay. Well, I will read. I'll read the changes and give some direction. In Fund 10, we have received a grant from the Jason Reed Foundation for the Sheriff's Department. It's a private contribution, so we're increasing revenues under private contribution and increasing expense under our equipment budget for $4,200, and that will fund the purchase of 24 rifle plate body armors. We appreciate the donation of the Jason Reed Foundation and their generosity. In pretrial services, in 2021, a grant was received for $288,000 that could be split over 2 years. That was not put into the budget. The rollover was not put into the budget this year. And so last year, a portion of that, just over $30,000, was spent. And so we need to roll that grant revenue. So in state grants revenue, we're going to increase by $243,324. We're also going to increase the programs by $243,324 in our pretrial services. In Fund 15, Health Department, we have received additional revenue of $2,000 from AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah as a donation for child car seats. We appreciate their generosity. And so we are increasing expense for car seats and helmets by $2,000 as well. In Fund 19, 911 emergency, we are increasing expenses in payroll taxes, retirement, and benefits to fund 5 new dispatcher positions and increase hiring rate, as well as offer some recruitment incentives to meet the demands of that operation at this time. Total for all of those is $577,400. In Fund 61 insurance, we have a vehicle that needed some replacement parts due to an accident, but those parts were not available in 2021, so we are rolling the budget from 2021 to 2022 into our insurance operating account for 2022 of $3,106, and we hope that parts will become available at some point in 2022. Otherwise, stay tuned and maybe we'll be back in 2023. We'll see. In Fund 80, this is our America Rescue Plan State Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, or SLFRF, or SLFRF. These are revenues that have been received from the federal government, and so we are now going to expend those revenues. So this budget change will increase our revenues within that fund by $299,000 to offset the following expenses: $84,000 for legal defenders, for a legal defender, another $83,000 for an additional legal defender, and then $82,000 for a third legal defender. These are funds that are being utilized to help us with the backlog of the justice system when it shut down for COVID. Last but not least, we are increasing expenses for professional services by $50,000 according to contract 2021-473. This is with Resource Consultants. They are our Slough Rough consultant and advisor, and very valuable to the county. So total revenue increase will increase by $548,524. Total expenditures are increasing by $1,129,030. The difference being in the insurance fund and in that change to the 911 program. So with that, I would happily answer any questions, or if you want to go to public comment, and then I'm happy to answer any questions as well at that point.
I just see one typo, and that is on that last section under Fund 80. The famous Slough Rough is missing the F on that first line.
That's correct. On the revenue, we will write in the F on the Slough Rough so that nobody thinks that it's state local fiscal recovery.
All right, looking for a motion to go into public.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, opportunity for public comments. I ask you to come up and state your name. Seeing none.
Okay, I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, let's move on to the action item, number one.
Okay, I move approval of the additional 2022 budget appropriations and adjustments to revenues as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right, moving on to our business and action items. Now we'll move on to Community and Economic Development, Director Kent Anderson. Kent.
Thank you, Commission. Kent Anderson, Director of Community and Economic Development. I have two items for you today. We've got adjustments on the amounts. We've just got a flip-flop on them. So item number two is an approval of an agreement with the Utah Wetlands Foundation for a donation to the 2022 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Terms receivable in the amount, and this one's $1,500, beginning 5/12/2022 to 5/15/2022.
So that's a correction?
That's the correction.
Thank you.
Item number three is an approval and agreement with Chevron for a donation to the 2022 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Terms receivable in the amount of $3,000. So that's another correction, not $1,500.
Okay.
Beginning 5/12/2022 to 5/15/2022.
Great. Thanks, Kent. I move approval of items two and three.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank
you. Moving on to the next item, Facilities Director Lane Rose.
Good morning, Commission.
Good morning.
Lane Rose, Facilities Director. I got two items for you today. Item number four is approval of a contract with Baker Tile. This is for our Valley View Golf Course women's bathroom remodel, including the drinking fountain area. This is payable in the amount of $11,636.81. Beginning terms 4/19/2022, ending 7/31/2022. And the next item, number five, is a pass-through agreement with Rocky Mountain Power. We helped Valley View Golf Course update their aging electrical connection to their pump system up there. And with that, Rocky Mountain Power wanted a new meter up in place. So this is just a pass-through, zero cost to the county, just a contract with Rocky Mountain Power.
Very good.
All right, I move approval of items four and five as presented, and then I have one other question while you're up there.
Second, and I will say you've done a very nice job.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. And in case you need to leave and can't stay till the end, Lane, I know I had someone reach out who lives just kind of across from where the part of the courthouse came down, and they were curious about the decision. I believe it was public work session.
Yes,
while I was out of town on county business. Yeah. And that we're just going to hold off on the area that was previously designed for turf, but cover it so that the dust is not so much of a thing for the neighbors along there.
Yep, you're correct.
Yes.
So all the zero scaping will still go in, but everywhere that it was going to be turf or grass, we're going to put wheat fabric down and pin it down to help with the mud and the dust until we can make a decision.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for all your work to figure this out in a drought.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to Health Director Brian Hatch.
Good morning,
Morning, Commission. Brian Hatch of the Health Department. A little background on these two items. One of the 10 essential public health functions is developing a workforce, and that includes the upcoming workforce to succeed into public health. And so these two contracts before us, or these agreements, are with institutions of higher education to provide practical experience to students that are pursuing public health careers. And we're happy to support that. We gain out of this. We get a lot of special projects that occur by bringing these internships in. And so before you, number six is an intern master agreement with Ameritech College LLC to facilitate these opportunities and educational experience for students beginning 4/19/2022 and extending on probably indefinitely as long as the agreement stays in place. And then the other one is another internship master agreement with BYU Idaho for the same reason beginning 4/19/2022.
Very good.
Oh, that's terrific. And I 10 essential functions. I'll need a list of those. Developing a workforce is such a big deal.
It's because I don't want to stay here forever.
Well, we do hope you're in more time, but we recognize you need your breaks and finally your retirement. So appreciate you, Brian. I move approval of 6 and 7.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving on with Human Resource Director Chris Bell. And Chris, you look like you got most of the staff and with you today.
Yeah. Powerful. HR, all the way.
Thank you, Commissioners. There are items of interest to my staff today on the agenda with applicant tracking and some of those budget amendments and so forth, so appreciate their support. Before you today, item 8 is a request to approve an amendment, request to amend the Davis County Transportation Policy. It's Policy 210. Section 9.0, we're adding a comma and two words, comma, tourism patrons. This would be a change that would allow our tourism department to transport non-employees in a county vehicle as they take patrons out on county orientation trips and things of that nature. So we want to make sure they're operating within the policy on that.
That's great.
Very good. Okay.
I move approval of 8 as presented.
Second.
All right, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now moving on to Library Director Ellen Peterson, Deputy Director. Deputy.
I got there. You were almost.
I was like, woo, there. You don't want to go there yet.
That was very scary. For a second there. Okay, thank you, Commissioners. Number 9 is an approval for an agreement with Utah State Library to join the Beehive Consortium Overdrive with the state. And so this is to join a bunch of libraries in Utah, actually the majority of libraries in Utah, to share resources for e-materials. We did a lot of research on it and found that this would be very beneficial to our patrons. And so we would pay the state $35,329. The beginning would be May 1st, 2022, and it would end December 31st, 2022, and then there'd be a renewal. And we would actually get half of that back to spend on e-materials for our patrons as well. So all that money goes towards materials that would be available to our patrons, and it fits within our budget that we already had set up for e-materials.
Yes, and I just want to add to that, Neil and I are on the library board, and this was thoroughly discussed and vetted by the library board, and had one person give some input and some questions from the public. And that person is a big time user of the e-materials, but takes advantage of our agreement with Weber County to use their existing, right, Beehive, yeah. So anyway, just wanted to bring that up, and this was a good discussion for the board, and we learned some things. And
real quick, the payable amount is $35,329, beginning at 5/1/2022, and 12 ending 12/31/2022.
Yes. Yeah, very good. I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Moving on to the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Susan Poulton. And we also recognize the Sheriff is in the house, too. So.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Item number 10 is an agreement with B&W Auto DBA Sparks Motors for the exchange of our Sisu Natsu, which they, it had so many repairs needed that they agreed to take that back and exchange it for a 2000, which is item number 11, a 2022 Polaris Ranger side-by-side, and that will be for search and rescue purposes up in the canyon areas.
And the side-by-side, so is none of this snowmobile?
No, that's what it fell under in the...
Somehow, okay.
Yeah,
that's helpful. So the terms of 10 beginning March 20th of 2022, terms of 11 beginning March 20th of 22, and that sounds like it'll be a better thing.
Have they taken that Sisu Natsu back now?
What's that?
Have they gotten it back?
I don't know if they picked it up yet.
No, still not running, so they got a...
Tow truck.
Oh, they have equipment.
It's been a while.
Sheriff inherited and commissioners inherited. This right. Interesting story of the Sisu.
I make a motion that we approve items 10 and 11 as presented to us.
And I second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Susan.
Moving on to the treasurer's office, Treasurer Mark Alton.
Can I make a comment before?
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
I just want to recognize the generosity of Sparks Motors. We do appreciate their generosity.
Yeah, we do.
Over the years, and so certainly that side-by-side will be very helpful.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you for that, adding that, Curtis.
Agreed. Right. Mark?
Good morning, Commissioners. Item number 12 is an addendum to the contract that Davis County has with Loomis Armored Car Services. And it will cover not only the treasurer's office, but also the health department, sheriff's office, and the animal services department for armored car services, according to the contract.
Okay, so this is an amendment to the
right.
Contract.
The current agreement would expire on June 30th of 2022, and we just did an addendum to.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve the amendment to the contract with Loomis Armored, presented to us by the Treasurer Mark Alton.
And Mark, did you say the amounts and the terms?
Yeah, the total amount is approximately, because there's a little bit of difference because of the insurance and the surcharge that they have, that we get a fuel charge that they charge, which, but the estimated amount based on the coverage, the amount is showing for each department about $5,210.52 per year.
Okay, and this particular item beginning April 12, 2022 through November 25, 2025.
So. Right, that November 25, 2025 appeared to be a little bit arbitrary, but that was the original expiration of the original contract that was done in 2019.
Got it. Thank you. Second the motion from me.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Mark.
Moving on to our consent items.
I move approval of the work session minutes from March 15th, 2022, as well as our regular commission meeting minutes for these dates, March 8th, 2022, March 15th, 2022, and March 22nd, 2022.
Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I move we recess to our Board of Equalization duties.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Curtis.
Thank you, Commissioners. Under auditor adjustments, tax exempt requests, you have one request, and it is recommended that exemption be denied. Under abatements, you have three abatements on the abatement report, and it is recommended that all three of those be denied as well. Under corrections, you have nine veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021 that are recommended. And then under your assessor adjustments, under escapements, you have one escapement for 2021 for $566.22. And that is the property tax register for April 19th, 2022.
Very good. I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Opportunity for commissioner comments. Neil, Curtis, real quick. Commissioner Stevenson?
No comment.
Commissioner Kamala?
Yeah, thanks. A couple things. When I was on county business last week and was excused from the commission meeting, I was attending the housing conference in Seattle, Washington that was postponed from March of 2020. We all know what started then for a lot of the Western United States with the pandemic. So it was postponed, and it was Davis Behavioral Health that had invited me to this. And it was a fantastic conference. I really like Seattle and I like Washington, but I don't know, there's challenges for sure when it comes to housing and populations living in tents. And so it was a very interesting place to have a housing conference. And I would say the very best thing, which I have always taken away in my time as a commissioner, and I continue to be incredibly impressed with, is the work of Davis Behavioral Health. They actually don't have to be in the housing business, but they didn't intend to be in the housing business. But they have over 120 beds, and most of their properties they own, distributed throughout this county. Some is permanent supportive housing. That if those folks did not have housing with Davis Behavioral Health's properties and their wraparound services, those folks would be homeless in our county. So I would say about a year ago when I learned more about their properties, because I'm on their board, and they had a specific board meeting that educated everyone about their properties. they have various levels of care, and they help folks recover, and they help folks move out of their housing and become productive members of society. It's just really quite remarkable. But some folks need permanent supportive housing. And again, if they had not started to acquire housing inexpensively and then make it even better in the communities where those properties are located, these folks would be homeless. And so I just have a really big shout out. They do have a housing manager who works full time, and he's amazing. So it was really their chief financial officer and their housing manager and I there to continue to learn about best practices of this sort of housing across the United States and even outside of the United States, just best practices in housing. And some of it applies to Davis County, and some of it, thankfully, doesn't apply to Davis County. But I just want to recognize that they do some pretty important work, and they do help people become better and be able to get jobs and make their way on their own. And they also keep people out of emergency rooms, which is incredibly expensive care. I could go on and on. I'll finish with a tour yesterday. I've been involved along with Sheriff and others with their receiving center that was under discussion pre-pandemic, and they had an opportunity to create the very first of its kind in the entire United States, a true diversion of a receiving center. And it started in temporary space that the Sheriff worked with them on in the previous work center, because we have income honor programs and other kinds of opportunities for folks now who don't have to be housed in the jail. And then they were able to acquire their own building, which is not far from here. And it is a receiving center. And I was in a meeting yesterday with folks from the state who came to tour it, and Gail Miller from the Miller Foundation, who is a co-chair of homelessness and housing for the state. In a volunteer service position. And I mean, just to see the light bulbs go on for folks who are trying to make a difference for the state of Utah when it comes to housing and homelessness, to see, have them in the room and to tour and to learn what Davis Behavioral Health and Davis County have done and are doing was a pretty cool opportunity yesterday. And Cinda was able to be there from the commission office to kind of observe and also record a little bit of that. And so just I want everyone to really understand how important that partnership is and the work that Davis Behavioral Health does, and how cool it is to have a receiving center in our county, the first of its kind in the entire United States. They are going to be opening up a second location, they hope by this summer, which will be in the more northern. I mean, this is quite central, and it's a drop-off for law enforcement, as well as a place where people can self-refer and come for 24 to 72 hours to help get through a crisis, and again, not have to be on the streets and not have to be going to the hospital. Saves a ton of money, and it's much better care. So look for a second location. And the way they rolled it out for all 15 cities, law enforcement, was also remarkable and very thoughtfully done. And was not necessarily intuitive for law enforcement officers to know that it would be a better way for a lot of folks who are not public safety risks. But it has been, and it has been embraced by all of the law enforcement agencies in our county. So it's a cool story, isn't it? A super cool story, the first of its kind in the United States. That's it.
Very good. Thank you. All right, I have no comment. The meeting is adjourned.
We need to meet again.